BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
Hello. Later today, the young man who lost patience with trying to get a job and set up his own business.
So I went to the job centre. I had a meeting with my right coach. And I said, all I need is one piece of equipment and I can set up my own business.
Now, he's won a major national enterprise award. It sounds as if he may not need the book written by my first guest, but I suspect many people do. It's called It Could Be You. And just before we meet its author, I want to quote you one excerpt from it, which I think will help you get her measure. Once I was just a naval officer, but since losing my sight, I've done so much more. Travelled the world, run a business, survived a near-death accident, written books, and the list goes on. Having a life-changing condition opens up many new, different and precious forms of success. Penny Melville Brown, you wrote that. Welcome. We'll come on to some of those experiences later, but what prompted you to write this book?
My whole drive, ever since I was medically discharged from the Navy, has been about helping other people with life-changing health conditions to get back to work. And I've done it in all sorts of ways, you know, running projects, advising government, advising charity sector, all over the place. I wanted to capture all of that, not just for other people with disabilities, but also those who care for them, support them, for government and politicians and officials, and also for employers. So I wanted to bring all of that learning together and just see if I could make a bit more of a difference.
But it's also about attitude, how you deal with something like starting to lose your sight.
I know in my case, having that huge blow to your self-esteem, your sense of worth and value is utterly devastating, and it can be even more devastating than the becoming blind. And so how can you change what's going on in your head and find some positive bits out of it and give you the drive and the confidence to carry on?
So tell us a bit more about your own experience, first of all. Was it sudden or gradual?
It was reasonably gradual, over about a year, 2 years. And I was happily, you know, stupidly ignorant of disability. I became the first naval barrister. And then I started losing my sight. I managed to do another job. And then I had a very long time off sick from the Navy. Managed to get back to work. But by then, I'd lost the sight in one eye and the other eye was going. But I was hugely lucky. I was promoted to commander. I did two more jobs in the Navy. And even though the military are not subject to the Equality Act, they were still employing me as a disabled person. I know, I was trotting around the naval base in Portsmouth in uniform with a white cane, having to carry my tricorn hat because I wouldn't know who was saluting me or whether I ought to salute them. But, you know, gosh, didn't they do me well? Because that gave me the self-confidence to say, phew, I can do anything. Just because I can't see doesn't mean I can't do anything in the world. Well, brain surgery, perhaps, but, you know.
Well, give it time. A lot of this book is about confidence and taking control. But for a lot of people, those attributes don't come naturally and are therefore even less likely to be applied when you have a life-changing event like losing your sight. How do you take control when everyone around you is assuming you can't and trying to tell you what's best for you?
It's very simple. Don't believe them. I suppose I've always been a bit like that. If they accept everybody else's opinion, and it might be your last employer, it might be your GP,
might be your family.
The benefit system. Absolutely. I've worked with many people whose families were very happy to have somebody who sat at home and took in, you know, the latest Amazon delivery or something like that. It takes quite a lot of strength of character to resist that and battle. It really is a battle through government systems, which are not easy in the first place, and even more difficult if you've got any form of accessibility needs. if your first language is not government language, you know, you're really on a hiding to nothing. I need to change the hearts and minds of all those who are trying to help us, because often they come with their own very negative, stereotyped attitudes. And if you don't fit neatly into their boxes, their systems may not enable them to do what they could do. The people themselves might be willing, the systems might not.
Who are harder to influence, the people looking for work or the people who have jobs to offer that can't see themselves as giving them to a blind person?
Well, to be honest, I think it's the latter. It's the employers. I've done lots of projects all over the country trying to recruit disabled people, and they come pouring in. You know, we would just put a simple advert in a local paper, and we have had more people than we could cope with. There is huge ambition. For most people, as soon as you meet them, you say, "What do you do?" That's all about your sense of self-worth, self-esteem. And people want to recover that, because that, I suppose you'd call it status. That is what defines people, their happiness, their success in life. Just having a health condition doesn't change any of that. And yet some people believe that we don't want to work. We don't want to fulfill ourselves. We don't want to achieve all the potential that we have. And that is simply not true for the vast majority of people with disabilities.
We've been talking a lot recently on the programme about welfare reform and access to work, the fear that it's facing cuts. What's your view about the government's assertion that its policies are designed to get more disabled people into work?
A lot of this book is about sustainable development, you know, those great big words, because I don't believe that any economy is going to survive when a quarter of the working age population is underemployed, which is certainly the case for disabled people. But equally, I don't believe any strategy to fulfill and use all that potential is going to work without some much more joined up thinking. And that's right from DWP and job centres all the way through to the business sector when we talk about self-employment and running your own business. And of course, right at the very start of all of this is the health department and what they're actually doing. If they could do things quicker, more effectively, and do really good interventions, not just on our physical health, but equally taking on board those mental health consequences of acquiring a disability. If they try and do it all by themselves, they're going to fail.
On this theme of taking control, you talk about people taking control of their own medical treatment. How do you go about it, again, when you're surrounded by professionals who are sure they know what's best for you?
Well, you know, where you've got the facility or you've got some help, research it, find out what this condition that they've labelled you with means. Find out what sort of help is available. Be completely on top of these doctors and other health professionals. I remember I was on vast amounts of steroids at one time, and this happy little doctor was saying, "Oh no, we'll cut all that down." I knew that what he was suggesting was life-threatening. Fortunately, I was in touch with his boss, who reversed his decision. If I hadn't been able to do that, I may not be speaking to you now. You may not be able to access all the documents, but you know what's happening. You've seen a doctor, you've heard from them. You've heard what the prescription is. You've heard what the treatment is. You can go home, and whether you're using a screen reader as I do, or screen magnification, even if you put it on a dictaphone, and I still have those, I know I'm very old-fashioned, you can take a record of things and you can present them to your health professionals. And just doing that makes them realise this is not somebody who is passive. This is somebody who is a grown-up person with whom I have to deal with as a grown-up person.
If you had to boil your book down to one message, would that be it, basically? Take control?
Very much so, yeah.
Let's bring in our other guest at this point. Brandon Holcoop, welcome to you. In a way, you illustrate some of those messages because you were, I think, struggling to get a job for some time. What attitudes were you coming up against?
I find that most people aren't receptive to the idea that visually impaired people can work. I remember one specific job interview that I attended online, and they asked me, how would I deal with images and spreadsheets and tables? And of course, as everybody listening knows, using a screen reader, you can successfully enter data into whatever method they ask for. And when it comes to images, you find out what the images are and you work with them accordingly. Simple as that. I got an email back the next day saying, "Oh, I'm so sorry, but due to your visual impairment, I don't feel that you could take part in 3/4 of this role." And I thought, well, that is completely and utterly wrong, because from my point of view, I know how to use it and you're not giving me the chance.
Did you know what you wanted to do?
From a very young age, I wanted to do something revolving around Braille. And I was told a lot of times by my mum and by careers advisors, the market for Braille was too small. So I convinced myself that the only thing I was good at was admin. And now I find that I was wrong.
So explain the idea that you came up with.
All Things Dotty is a business that I set up in 2023. We provide accessible information in alternative formats, whether it's Braille, large print, or audio. The idea is that we campaign and work with businesses to try and encourage them to take on accessibility, to take an understanding of visual impairment, what it is, what it means, and how to work with us. I'm going to businesses and saying, look, have you heard of the Equality Act? It states this, this, and this. Businesses should think about providing materials in alternative formats for those who need them, no matter their size.
So initially, you were not aiming at the blind individual who wanted a document. You were thinking in terms of the businesses who should be providing their materials in an accessible form.
I mean, at first, I was providing greetings cards, which were really popular for the visually impaired, they still are, and tactile artwork. And we now provide a memory portrait service, which means we can provide tactile portraits of an event, the family, any happy memories you've got. I feel like we've got the personal approach. We're humans, after all, and we're working with other humans.
How did this start? I mean, how did you actually get the necessary equipment? You know, where did the idea come from?
I was lying in bed one morning and I thought, well, these are the issues. I saw a big gap in the market. I go to a restaurant to eat out, ask for a Braille menu, and they always say no. So that was the first thing that got me going. And then obviously, well, I thought, well, what else is going wrong? And I thought, greetings cards, can't see it. Paintings, like, I mean, there was a painting of a lion and a lioness looking at each other, and I couldn't see that. It all hit home. And I thought, well, I can use Braille to create representations of these. So I went to the job centre. I had a meeting with my right coach, and I was half joking. I said, all I need is one piece of equipment and I can set up my own business. Half an hour later, I had a phone call from a representative of the King's Trust. And after that, I had a test my business idea grant, which was really useful. That got me the software I needed. 3 months down the line, I think it was, I had another grant, which enabled me to get the more expensive and much, much better equipment that I need to run my business.
Now, a major part of what you're doing does seem to be menus. Presumably, that involves convincing restaurants that this is a valuable thing to do in their own interests, not just as something which is nice to do. How did you go about that?
Nowadays, I say to them, well, think about it this way. If you go into a restaurant, they sit you down, you ask for a menu, they give it to you in Braille. It's not print. So how do you read it? Mm. How do you feel? What are your thoughts? You ask for a print menu and they say, no, we haven't got any. Because that's exactly what goes through my head every time I go to a restaurant. Anybody who uses Braille, who uses audio, could be entitled to read the menu by themselves independently. We do say that with the right advertising, the visually impaired community will be more, you know, more inclined to visit your restaurant because it's more accessible. 80% of visually impaired people don't eat out as much as they want to, as much as they'd like to, because the menu isn't accessible to them.
So that's the big selling point. Is it working?
Yes, it is. Yeah, absolutely it is. So I won the King's Trust National Enterprise Award last month for the business. I met His Majesty the King and had a conversation. He was genuinely really pleased and really proud of what I'd done. And I presented him with a tactile portrait of His Majesty and the family on the balcony after the coronation. And he felt it himself and was really grateful. So it was a bit of a surreal moment, to be fair. The palace provided a Braille invitation for the very first time in history. And I feel like that just embodies what we work for, doesn't it? You know, that is us all over.
Yeah.
The people are taking notice.
So is this going to grow? How do you see it developing? Or are you going to move on to other things as you get older?
Well, this business is here to stay for the duration of my lifetime. It's been going for 2 years. I've moved through different phases of my life. I'm in a position now where I can make it grow. I'm in my own offices, so I'd like to expand greatly to a point where I can employ other visually impaired people. I'd like to become international. I'd like to be able to work all over the world, really.
Well, no lack of ambition. You've heard Penny's messages. What would your message be based on your experience? Perhaps particularly people your age faced with the current employment situation? Only 1 in 4 visually impaired people of working age in a job?
I'd say that no matter how much sight you have talents, you have abilities, you are able to do things. Think about what your strengths are and keep going no matter what, because if you give up, that's it. If everything else fails, set up a business because you have talents and you are more than capable.
I can feel Penny bursting to come in here.
Sorry.
Well, you've not only got jobs yourself since being blind, but developed them into businesses yourself.
Brandon, first of all, huge congratulations on your award. I am an entrepreneur too. I set up my own business when I left the Navy. I would really commend entrepreneurship. Often it's the best way of overcoming, one, the difficulties that one might have in persuading an employer to take you on. But two, you are in control. And that goes back to what I was saying earlier. Being in control means you have the power about directing your business. And Brandon, if I was giving you advice, I'd be talking to government. How many government bodies actually provide information in accessible formats? And when they talk about some convoluted bit of business jargon, it can be so off-putting for people who are just putting their toe into that water. And we need to make it much simpler, much more direct. So it's accessibility as to the language, as well as to the methodology by which you receive it.
Just one more thing, we're running out of time, but Penny, how is your book, It Could Be You, available? We've been talking about accessibility, but, you know, how is it available to blind people?
Peter, you embarrass me hugely because I've self-published this. It's available on Amazon, but it is quite large print with a lot of space around it. It's on Kindle, so that will assist other people. And otherwise, Brandon, you probably need to make a Braille version.
Well, that's the point, you see. I didn't do this to embarrass you. It just struck
me,
Brandon, are you in a position to produce it in Braille for people who might want it?
Absolutely. We can do Braille or audio, so it's entirely up to you. No problem there at all.
Brilliant.
Well, there you are. You see, we've brought you together here on In Touch. Penny Melville-Brown, Brandon Holcoop, thank you both very much for coming on the show and for spreading some much-needed positivity about it.
Thank you for having me. That's wonderful.
We welcome, as always, your questions, your comments. Email intouch@bbc.co.uk or leave voice messages on 0161 836 1338. From me, Peter White, and this week's producer, Fern Lullum. Goodbye.